At the starting gate, and began to meditate on what the Lord wanted to begin as we change our schedule and we begin our Wednesday night refreshing services again. And you know, if you're here and you have an offering to the Lord, you can put your offering in the container back anytime. This is good ground. The Lord will bless you. Amen. So that's available to you. But you know, God is wanting to do something through his body in this earth and in this region. And the more I thought about this, the more the Lord began to impress. The word power kept coming. And so I want to begin a series, and I'm calling it Gifts, Services, and the Way God Works. And we're going to talk about some things that are necessary for the body to have. And those are his gifts, his spiritual gifts. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to spend a lot of time here in this chapter. But you know, if we really want to, how many want to be a part of what God is doing in the moment? All right? So we need to connect, we need to hook up. We need to have some understanding about how the Lord operates and about how we can work with his operations so that it's better to flow through us. Amen? And God wants to use every one of you. You know, the service is not just about the preacher, but there's actually three people involved right now. There is the Holy Spirit who orchestrates everything. There is the one who delivers the Word of God, and then there's the one who hears the Word of God, and we all have to work together in order for God to have his way. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to begin. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Aren't you glad that God doesn't want you ignorant? Amen? He doesn't want you misinformed. But he wants you to understand these gifts that he's given to his body. It is vital for us to possess lands, to take this region over, that we, every member of the body, has to understand how these gifts function, how they work. You know, you can operate something, but when you have an understanding of it, you operate it better, don't you? Aren't you glad that when it's time to get a driver's license, you don't just go down to the place and say, "I want to get a license"? They make you go through a class called Driver's Ed. Thank God for Driver's Ed. Amen? Because if you've never been behind the wheel before, it trains you. You get to practice, you get to learn about the rules of the road, and it helps you operate that piece of machinery better. Okay? So, an ignorance or a lack of understanding about these spiritual gifts will hinder your participation and reception of them. You know, the Bible says, "My people will perish for what? Lack of knowledge." So the Holy Spirit's going to give us some knowledge, and this is a series that we're going to do for until we're done. Amen? So what does it mean to be ignorant? It means to not know. It means to lack information. It means to ignore through disclination. It means to not understand or to have something to be unknown. All right? So, we're going to lay the foundation. And because the foundation is important if you want to build the house. Okay? So we're laying the foundation tonight. And we're going to get so good at operating these gifts that I believe that they're going to flow like a faucet when you turn it on. That's what God wants. Some of you are going to get to understand these gifts, that when the Holy Spirit wants to operate them, He's got a vessel that's ready, that's primed and ready. You know how they used to do the pumps with the water? You had to prime the pump first. The first few pumps didn't bring any water up. But the more you kept pumping and pumping, eventually once that pump was primed, that water would begin to flow. So tonight we're just priming the pump, because in coming days, the water's going to flow. Amen? Okay? So God does not want you to be misinformed. All right, go with me to chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. And let's go down to verse 7. He says here, Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the foundation, before the world, unto our glory." Now, don't get caught up in the word mystery. You know, some people say God moves in mysterious ways. Yeah, but to those who believe in Him, He reveals the mystery. It's not a mystery to those who are in fellowship and relationship with Him. Okay? It's a mystery to those who aren't even seeking Him. But when they start to seek Him, the mystery gets unraveled and it unfolds. "Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." You know, if the devil knew that Jesus was going to rise from the dead, he'd have never crucified Him. So God kept that mystery hidden from him. And it was a surprise and a shock on the third day. You know, the devil thought he won, but God had the last word. Amen. Now verse 9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, ear nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that," what? Say, "God's got some things prepared for me." And I want you to notice that the things that God has for you is not made known to you through the physical realm. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has. So if God has some things prepared for us, how do we find out what they are? Look at verse 10. "But God," I love it when God interrupts, "but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." So the things that God has prepared for us are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. So these spiritual gifts are given to us by God, and the Spirit has to reveal how they work, how they function, and how they can function through us. Okay? It's not through the physical realm that understanding comes. It's not through the senses. You know? Now, sometimes when the Holy Spirit is moving, you're going to feel something. Sometimes. But not all the time. And when you act on the word, if you don't feel anything at all, but you act on the word, you're going to get results. Okay? So let's go on. Verse 11, "What man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Did you know that the Spirit of God was at creation? Did you know that the Spirit of God was the author of all the books of the Bible? Holy men of God were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down these things. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Did you know that there's a spirit that's operating in this world or the world system? There is a spirit. Everything that occurs in the natural has its origin in the spirit, good or bad. You don't have the spirit of the world. That's good news. You have a different kind of spirit. Okay, we have not received, or now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Aren't you glad that God is a free giver? He freely gives us things. And the way we know those things is through the Spirit. Okay? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the communication center for the Lord. How does a cell phone work? A cell phone works on radio waves. And there are companies that own the air. Think about that. And when you're in your home area, you know, things work. But when you get outside your home area, you're roaming because you're using a different system to get to send and receive messages. And there's big companies. You know, if you have a cell phone, there's many companies that offer the ability to communicate. Well, as a believer, God's got a communication network too. It's called Spirit Communications. And the way God communicates to us is spirit to spirit. And the way that you know that you can receive the message is you're hooked in with the Spirit. All right, you got to be hooked in with the Spirit. You got to be in agreement with the Spirit. All right? Everybody understand that? And verse 13. Which things also we speak. He's talking about the things of God, the things that the Spirit shows us. Hey, this belongs to you. I didn't know that before. Thank you for showing me. Once you have the knowledge that it belongs to you, then you can possess it. Okay, that's key. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. How do you know if the Holy Spirit is communicating with you? Because he will always be in total and complete agreement with this book right here. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know this book is spiritual? Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So if you want to be sure that you're receiving a spiritual message from the Holy Spirit, he'll always line up with this book. Okay? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If you're getting a message that doesn't line up with this book, it's the wrong communication network. You're in the wrong area or zone. If it doesn't line up with this book, it's the wrong spirit. You don't want that message. You don't want a message that doesn't line up with this book. Okay? Verse 14. The natural man receives not the things of God. So if you're taking a natural approach to the spiritual gifts, you're going to miss it. Because the natural man does not receive the things of God. Natural meaning physical senses. You know, reason. You know, touch. You're not going to get things through the physical means. The natural man, even a person who's naturally minded. What's a naturally minded person? their senses govern their actions. How many early risers do we have? How many night people do we have? Okay? Can a night person become an early riser? Can an early riser become a night person? You can do anything that you need to do as long as you don't let your senses govern you. See, when we're letting our senses govern us, then we're going to miss what the Holy Spirit is trying to show us. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. I can't believe I went to that place and they were talking in these strange languages. How foolish that is. See, they're missing the whole communication. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Yet he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is simply the Holy Spirit. Because over in Philippians, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, did Jesus have the Spirit of God? Yeah. The Holy Spirit, when he was baptized in water, it descended on him like a dove. And his Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And everything he did as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. So the way that we're going to be informed about the spiritual gifts is we've got to be spiritually in tune. When you're listening to the radio, you want to listen to your favorite station, and it's on a different dial, what do you have to do to that radio? You got to kind of tune it in, right? And along the way, if you're not on the right station, you're going to get some static. It's going to go, whew, whew, whew. Or you might get some music like, whoo, what is that? Let's turn that channel. Okay? Same thing with the TV. All right? You want to watch a show on TV? What do? You change, you tune into that channel. Okay? You use a remote control. Everybody, you know, exercise your thumb. What are you doing? I'm exercising my thumbs. You know? Flipping the remote. I'm thumb exercising. My point is that you got to tune in spiritually to get the spiritual things that God wants you to show you. If you're spending 90% of your day being governed by your senses, your five senses, your mind, your emotions, then it's highly unlikely that you're going to get the spiritual message that you need to get for that day. Because you got to be spiritually in tune. You need to start your day at least with some prayer, right? Because when you pray, what are you doing? You're tuning to the right channel. When you read the Bible, you're tuning into that channel. When you worship, you're tuning into that channel. Let's go to John chapter 16. Gospel of John chapter 16. Why are we going into this? Because God doesn't want you ignorant about spiritual gifts. If we were to take a survey in Palmyra of people who go to church, how many people do you think would even know what the spiritual gifts are? I don't know. I'm not going to say because I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I've talked to a lot of people who go to church and they don't even know if they're going to heaven or not. Yeah, we've been out witnessing. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? No, but yet they go to church. They better switch churches. There is so much ignorance, misunderstanding, misinformation in the body of Christ about the spiritual gifts, because I doubt if they've ever even heard a sermon on it, let alone if it operates in their church. You know, where something's not preached, God's not going to necessarily operate it. John chapter 16 and verse 12. Jesus was telling his disciples, he said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You cannot understand them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into how much truth? All truth. Aren't you glad that God has given us our own personal guide? He'll say, come here, I want to show you this. It's like he'll give you a guided tour through the kingdom of God, and he'll show you everything that belongs to you. Oh, you see that there? That's from your great, 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 great grandfather Abraham. Because all the blessings that Abraham had are yours. Just as an example. So, sometimes there's things that, you know, God wants us to know, but when the Holy Spirit comes in, that's when we're going to get the understanding. You know, it's like when you open the door of the refrigerator, what happens? The light comes on. So he's going to guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. You know, the Holy Spirit's a person, right? And he's like the wise men who came to Jesus when he was a baby. The Holy Spirit comes bearing gifts. And he has 9 gifts that he wants us to understand. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about. He wants us to know how these 9 gifts operate, how they function, how we can function with them. Because he wants to operate them. Okay? And verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and will show it unto you. So aren't you glad? Listen to what kind of concern that God wants to show you things. And the way he shows you things is through the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one who guides us into all truth. He's our teacher. He's the one who leads us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God, the daughters of God. If you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, then you're a son and a daughter. But if you refuse the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I don't know. All right? Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And look at verse 20. See, God wants you to be confident about the gifts of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts. Because with confidence comes ease of operation. Verse 20 of 1 John chapter 5. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. What does the Holy Spirit lead us into? All what? Okay. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ, that is the true God and eternal life. So the Son came to help us understand, and he gives us his Holy Spirit. and he brings understanding. Go with me to Luke chapter 2. I want to give you an example of someone whom the Holy Spirit revealed something to that gave him insight into what God wanted to do. Okay? In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. I think of when Elliot played Simeon. The same man was just and devout. Everybody say just and devout. Did you know that being just and devout are two qualities that the Holy Spirit thrives in? You know that the Holy Spirit works together with righteousness? You know, he's not called the Holy Spirit for nothing. He's holy. So part of receiving things from the Holy Spirit is being holy, being righteous. And here was Simeon. Okay? And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, this was before Jesus was glorified, so the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out on everybody yet. But here was this man, before the Holy Spirit was ever poured out, he was hanging out, doing his thing, waiting, expecting, you know? And he was hanging out where, in the temple area, and verse 26, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Okay? There was something that God wanted Simeon to partake in. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So, here, this man, Simeon, he had a promise revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that was upon him. And the Holy Spirit showed him that he wasn't going to die until he saw the Lord. See, he was already a believer. He was just simply expecting the arrival of what he was promised. See, concerning spiritual gifts, you got to have some expectation about you. You got to come to church expecting the gifts to be in operation. Expect the gifts to be in operation in your home. Expect the gifts to be in operation in your workplace. God can give you insight, understanding, and wisdom that's not of this world. And you can be the only one with the information as long as you're a believer. How'd you like to have inside information about what's going to happen at your workplace? All right, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but Joseph had inside information about what was going to happen to Egypt, and he was the only one who knew it, and it was revealed to him by God. And he used that information to promote him. So here's Simeon. The Holy Ghost was upon him because he was holy. You know, the Holy Spirit likes to fellowship with holiness. I already said something like that. So, and he came, verse 27, by the Spirit into the temple. In other words, he came to church. The Holy Spirit said, now's the time. You need to be here at this time. Notice the Holy Spirit didn't tell him the whole picture, but he gave him a step. And in order to benefit from the spiritual gifts, you're going to have to combine your faith with what the Holy Spirit wants to do. If the Holy Spirit wants you to prophesy, it's going to have to take some faith to step out and deliver the message. Well, I don't know if this is God or not. Well, you better settle that first. You better know what the gifts look like, how they operate, how they function, because God doesn't want you to be ignorant. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child, brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Isn't it interesting how God knew exactly when Jesus was going to be there? I call this a divine appointment. And you might experience divine appointments in your life. You just simply, you feel led to show up at a certain place at a certain time. You have no clue why, but then it unfolds when you get there. That happened to me when I was in the Czech Republic. We were on a missions trip, and to make a long story short, we spent the night at this place, and I felt led in the morning to take this walk. And I walked down this road, and at the same time that I arrived at the main road was the same time another member from our team was driving down. And if I hadn't been there at that time, they'd have missed the road. Now, the Lord didn't say, God, I want you to show up at this road at this time at such and such a day. I just felt led to take a walk, and I didn't know what God was doing. But there it was. It was a divine moment. Because my other team member said, if you hadn't been there, I'd have missed this road. See, God knows. And he knew exactly when Jesus was going to be there, so that he could have Simeon there, because he had a promise. You're not going to die until you see the Lord. So verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. Notice, now he had a release. He did what he was supposed to do. He fulfilled God's promise, and it was all by the Holy Spirit. And this was before even the gifts were given out to the church. And verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, because he began to prophesy a little bit. And verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So now God was giving him insight about what was going to happen with Jesus, about how he was going to die and how it was going to affect Mary. And the reason for it. And it was all revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. But can you see how he was in fellowship with spiritual things? He was spiritually minded. He was thinking about the things of God. He was thinking about how he could please God, even in the littlest things. Go to the temple. Why should I go there? Go to the temple. Okay. And he's just there. He's having a good time with the Lord. And all of a sudden, Mary and Joseph walking with this little baby. And the Spirit says, there he is. Do you realize, how did John the Baptist know it was Jesus walking down the road? He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Holy Spirit. Because John had he was baptized with the Holy Spirit in the womb. But see, this is all part of how the spiritual gifts work. I believe God's going to show us some things, and our revelation is going to increase. Amen? I want to operate in the gifts. And we're going to find out that the gifts are the Holy Spirit. He operates them as he wills. He's just looking for a vessel that he can hook up with. You know, he's the semi-tractor, and we're the trailer. He's just hooking up to the trailer. But he's got the power. We're just the trailer. We're just along for the ride. But when we connect, we're going somewhere. And God wants to connect with believers. He wants words of wisdom, words of knowledge, tongues and interpretation, prophecy, working of miracles, gifts of faith, gifts of healing. He wants them to be operating today, because he is a God. These are his spiritual gifts. These are his things by which we take over areas and regions. And they're available for us all. Go with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts 19. Are you getting something out of this? This is a whole new thought process for me. I mean, I didn't go to my notes and say, oh, this looks good. No, this is all fresh from the oven. This is fresh baked bread. Amen? Acts chapter 19, verse 1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Here was a group of people who were misinformed, who lacked knowledge. Their knowledge was limited. Okay? But they were open to learn. Say, I'm open to learn. See, if you remain teachable, God can work with someone who's teachable. But if a person thinks that they know it all, God's going to have a hard time working with you, because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So always be teachable. What does that mean? Be willing to learn something new, something more. Be willing to learn. I don't know it. They said, we've never even heard of the Holy Ghost, but they weren't opposed to it. And they said unto him, we have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, under what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Now, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He baptized with water. All right? Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They spoke with different languages. They didn't study. Just boom, right there, they had the ability to speak with languages. But do you see how the Holy Spirit was working? Paul and Apollos were anointed preachers of God. And they were in this place, and they were just having a conversation. You know, they could have been at Walmart. And they could have said, have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost? Said, oh, we haven't even heard of the Holy Ghost. And said, well, what baptism were you baptized? Oh, with John's baptism. And just there was just a simple exchange that the Holy Spirit was working in this whole situation. And this group of believers in Ephesus were exposed to the power side. They now had the baptism of fire. And verse 7 says, all the men were about 12. But you see how the Holy Spirit is working? How he's leading? You know, if Paul wouldn't have said anything, nothing would have happened. Do you realize sometimes you just got to open your mouth for God to move? Well, God's going to have to move me. No, you're going to have to move with him. He doesn't come on. If he wanted a puppet, he would have made some puppets. If he wanted you to be a marionette, he would have made you with strings. But he didn't. He gave you a will. And if you want to hook up with the Holy Spirit, you got to make a choice that you're going to do so. You got to make a choice that when the Holy Spirit's moving, you got to be like Jeremiah. Here I am, or Isaiah. Here I am, Lord, use me. Use me. Use me. Why not me? Everybody say, why not me? Well, I thought the gifts were just for the preachers. No, they're for the body. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Man, can we turn the clock back about 30 minutes? This is good. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, okay? So you got to study and you got to practice, all right? When a person is involved in a play, they're given a script, okay? And the people have to learn their parts. And they go over their parts and over their parts and over their parts until they memorize it. Then they have practice. Then they have dress rehearsal. Then they have the performance. So the whole while, they've been practicing the part. Church is a good place to practice the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In your car is a good place to practice making yourself available to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. At home, when you're in a time of worship. You know, the Bible says, when you pray in tongues, pray that you may interpret. How many has ever practiced interpreting what they prayed in tongues? I'll get into that in 1 Corinthians 14. But that's what the Bible says. Pray that you may interpret. So if you speak in tongues, you can say, Lord, what did I say? Give me the interpretation. Okay, now verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols. I love the words that the Bible uses. Everybody say, idols are dumb. Why are they dumb? Because they can't talk, they can't speak, they can't walk, they can't do anything. But yet, so many people in the world worship idols. God's a jealous God. I believe there's a commandment, don't have any idols, something like that. Even as you were led. And then he says, wherefore I give to you understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Okay? So if you want to operate in the gifts, you're going to have to change how you've been led from before Christ to with Christ. Okay? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'll just maybe touch on this point and then we'll finish for tonight. But I'm not done. I'm just finishing for tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. It says, then it lists here fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That includes the gifts. That includes all the things that God wants to show you that belongs to you. Okay? And such were some of you. I was never that. Oh, yes, you were. Be quiet. We were all like that before Christ. Every one of us fell short, missed the mark. Our righteousness was as filthy rags. But thank God, because we've come to Christ, the blood of Christ has cleansed us. I'm no longer the old person. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. It says, but such were some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified. That means set apart. When you're sanctified, there are things that you cannot touch or get involved with because you're set apart. And the spiritual gifts are for those who are set apart for God's purposes. What kind of gifts are they? Spiritual. What kind of spirit governs the gift? Holy Spirit. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. See, they're right there. All things, verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient or profitable. eating Twinkies every day for 60 days is it's lawful, but it's not beneficial. I wouldn't recommend it. But I will not be brought under the power of any. That's very key. Spiritual gifts are not for the legalist. As far as operating, maybe God will use a spiritual gift to set a legalistic person free. Did you know that when the Pharisees, who were the most self-righteous people of Jesus' day, Jesus would answer their thoughts without them saying a word? That's a spiritual gift, word of knowledge, a revealed of an already known fact. Jesus was using spiritual gifts to try to reach them. They'd be thinking these thoughts in their mind, and Jesus would answer their thoughts. They'd be like, huh? How'd you know what I was thinking? Who told you? It was a spiritual gift that he was operating in. All right? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Can you take a little bit more? Okay. Ephesians 2, verse 11. He's telling us, well, let's go to verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Say, I'm God's masterpiece. And you're created in Christ Jesus unto what kind of works? Good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. How come some people aren't walking in the works that they were ordained for? Because they're not spiritually minded. They're missing the revelation of the Holy Spirit, therefore they're not walking in the works that God ordained for them to do. If Elvis would have been a worship leader in church, imagine the hearts that he could have changed for the Lord. But instead he was working for the wrong kingdom. A lot of these singers and musicians, they need to get out of the world and into the kingdom. They're using their gift for the wrong person. Verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you were the uncircumcision. At that time you were without Christ. This is before you came to Jesus. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, everybody say, but now. But now it's a whole different story. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off are made near by the blood of Jesus, or the blood of Christ. He is our peace, who has made both one, that broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And look, go down to verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, and in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. God wants to dwell. He wants to dwell in you. God was just looking for someone that he could pal around with. God wants to be your friend. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And so he comes to dwell in us, and we're part of his household. And so let's go to chapter 4, and then I'm going to close. So in 7, see, if you want to operate in the spiritual gifts, according to verse 2, we can't do it by the way we used to live. It's not going to work. You got to now pattern your life after Christ in order to operate in the gifts. Okay? And verse 17 says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened." People who are without Christ, they can't understand spiritual things because their understanding is darkened. "Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance." Brethren, I wish that none of you would be ignorant. God does away with ignorance. "That is in them because of the blindness of their heart." All right? Verse 20, "You have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." What kind of spirit operates the gifts? Holy Spirit. Okay? Go down to verse 30. "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Did you know that some of the actions that we do can grieve him? Well, if he's grieved, you think his gifts are going to be in operation? No. "Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." So, there's a different way to live in order to operate in these gifts. They're not going to work according to the old way, but you got to put on Christ. You got to connect with him, all right? So God doesn't want you to be ignorant or misinformed, and he wants you to walk in the newness of life so that these gifts can operate and function, and we can just hook up with him, amen? And I want you to believe God that these gifts are going to be in manifestation, because the Lord confirms his word with signs following. And we're going to see the demonstration and the power of these gifts, because I want you, God wants you to understand these gifts. He wants you to understand them so well that when they're in operation, you can say, "Ooh, I recognize that. Let's go with it." All right? When you see a street sign as you're driving, do you have to wonder what that sign is for? You know, when you see a red light, do you understand what that's for? When you see a green light, you understand what that's for? And when everybody understands that, traffic moves smoothly. But when people don't understand that, traffic gets bunched up, doesn't it? So this is why we're beginning this series. Amen. Father, we just give you thanks and praise for these wonderful gifts, these wonderful Holy Spirit, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that there is a free, flowing atmosphere where your gifts can operate, your gifts can manifest, your gifts can be made known to help the body, Father. And we just give you thanks and praise that there's going to be an increase in the operation of your gifts, and we're going to walk in the power that you want us to walk in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you know anybody that wants to learn about the spiritual gifts, invite them to come on a Wednesday. And for all the men, we're having a Barnabas Barbecue Blast and Campfire June 27th at 7 p.m. And you guys are welcome to come too.